Hey everyone, Jim Phoenix here, and today is a special one. Today is right, we are doing something of a last drive-in special, last drive-in with Joe Bob Briggs. You can check him out tonight when he's doing an all-day, all-night marathon. I don't know the day part. On Shudder, starts at 9 p.m., I think, Eastern. Good luck, look it up. All I know to say is now, hit the music. Oh my gosh, and we're back. So today's special. That doesn't make sense. Like the special. Anyways, today's special. And it's special for multiple reasons. One, J.M. Brennick's on assignment trying to find the newest shark. I believe they say they're going to hunt the Bigfoot shark in space. I don't know what that's about, but we wish them luck and we'll see them again. And today we've got the Haunted MTL's last drive-in correspondent, Kate Cat.
Oh, hello, that's me. That's my right. Q.
That's your Q. And other letters too. You don't have a Q in your name.
No, I Is don't. Oh. No, no. Oh. I've seen a lot of spellings of Kate and Caitlin, but none that have a Q in it.
Now I have to put a Q in your name. You know that, right? Oh,
please do not do that.
No Qs anywhere. How about John DeLance? He was Q.
No, thank no. you.
Fine, whatever. Well, pleasure to have you. So glad you can make it. And I can't wait to pick your brain on the last drive-in because, truth be told, you watched it more than I do.
Yeah, and I've missed talking about it since I haven't been able to write my reviews lately. So this is a good time to brain dump all things Joe Bob.
That's right. And we're going to start back way, way, way back because if anyone's listened to this show and they talked about Joe Bob, I do love Joe Bob Briggs and Darcy Melgar, and I love the old Shudder team. That's right, kiddies. The old Shudder team. I love the old Shudder team. I ain't going to say anything about AMC bad. Actually, AMC doesn't sponsor me, so fuck them and fuck you too. I like the old Shudder team.
Feel free to send me merch boxes, AMC.
Kate's like, I like you.
I like you, and I like your t-shirts, and I like your programming.
Well, I love Fright Regs, by the way. Fright Regs is awesome, man.
Yes, Fright Regs is incredible, but they get my money, so they don't need to send me anything for free. I just spend it willingly.
Give it all up now. So I first heard about, not even saw, not even looked at, heard about Joe Bob Briggs, The Last Drive-In, when Dave Davis was on Haunted MTL saying, hey, can I cover this guy? I'm like, yeah, sure. Can we do some live tweeting? I'm like, yeah, sure. And so I think the whole social media thing starts with Haunted MTL. So suck at everyone else with Dave Davis. And it was weird because no one else is like hashtagging. It was so bizarre when it first started out. And then that kind of snowballs. Like, I remember partway into season one and COVID happens, we had nothing else to fucking do but be home, especially in Canada. We had curfews.
Yeah, and sit at home and watch Tiger King.
I never watched that either.
Oh, you missed out. It's not going to hit the same if you didn't watch it in quarantine while you thought the world was ending.
Oh. Well, it took the world to almost end for me to watch Joe Bob Briggs. So
that's sad.
I know. And I made this comment before, but I want your experience with Joe Bob Briggs. What was the first experience with Joe Bob?
All right. So I have to paint a little bit of a picture for you. Growing up, I didn't have cable. So I watched whatever was on, you know, like the three stations that we had available. And if my friends had cable, it was like a magical, mystical wonderland of content. And I was hanging out at my friend's house, and her dad a little bit of a lush. So we were a bit unsupervised all the time, which is why I loved hanging out over there, because unsupervised kids plus cable, that's incredible, right?
That's the best house ever.
Yeah, it's the best house ever. And so I'm like, I'm a wee lass. I'm somewhere between 7 and 9 at this point. Me and this girl have been friends my whole life, and we're flipping through the channels and there's a scary movie on. And her and I are like, awesome, scary movie. Let's watch it. Oh, wow. And then before it goes to commercial, some dude's on our TV talking at us. And we're like, what's happening? You know, we didn't know what horror hosts were. We didn't know what any of this was. And then he's like, I'm Joe Bob Briggs and this is Monster Vision. And she and I just looked at each other and we were like, oh, so this is a thing now. So we would plan sleepovers to try and catch Monster Vision on TNT. Oh, wow. With Joe Bob Briggs. And there was so much that was not appropriate for young eyes. And then, like, just as we were really getting into it was when he ended up getting canceled. You know, they took it off of the air and I'm a child and I'm angry and I hate everything. And then I promptly forget about Joe Bob.
What happened to my Joe Bob Briggs? I can't live without him. What's next?
I can't live without him. And then I turned 12 and I'm like, okay, world goes on. Yeah. So that was, but that was my introduction to him, was kind of like, you know, illicit watching of something that was terribly inappropriate for my age range, but we loved it because, you know, horror movies had always spoke to our soul. And he was doing a blend at that point. It wasn't like strictly horror. The one that we caught was, but he's right. Doing a blend of stuff. But, you know, like he was funny and he talked like people we knew, but he didn't say things like the people we knew, if that made sense.
Now, what day and time?
What day and time specifically?
Yeah, was it kind of like on Friday nights? I heard it was Friday night. Was it Friday or Thursday?
It was either Friday or Saturday nights. I can't remember. Okay. I know
and it was
that
nighttime. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nighttime. It was on the weekends. I know that, and it was either Friday or Saturday, and I can't tell you for sure because I would ride the bus home with her, and then I would just stay there all weekend, and my mom didn't care because I was out of her hair. She's like, "Go do whatever you want. Be feral. You're someone else's problem."
Night. Oh, that's growing up in the let me see, there's internet but not really internet yet. That's kind of like the AOL internet years.
Yeah, it was, we were just starting to be raised by the internet. That was, it was just right on the cusp of it, you know. It was that magical period where if you wanted the internet you had to go to the library and sign up on a wait list for the one computer and right. You know, wait your turn for your 15 minutes. That was, it was a weird time.
Well, I liked that weird time. I missed that weird time. And then having the first cable modem, smoking everyone in PvP because they had dial-up still.
Oh my gosh, that's, I'm jealous.
Yeah, I know.
I was just playing Neopets, so I didn't need high-speed internet.
Oh, I remember that stuff too. Okay, so it was during that time. It was during that era, and that makes sense because, and I said this before, I was in Vegas, like,
ooh,
as an adult,
ooh,
like an early young adult. And there's no way in hell I'm going to be at my TV set Friday, Saturday, or it doesn't matter.
No,
at 9 p.m. That ain't happening. I'm like, I'm out at bars and clubs and strip clubs. You know, I was doing a lot of stuff probably I shouldn't have.
You were living your life, and you're still here to tell the story, so you didn't mess up too badly.
Now you can hear that story on Surviving Gen X. Buy it today. Nice plug. Thanks. So, good drop. It was a weird thing for me to experience because, like, this dude had a cult following that I had no idea existed.
Well, and so that kind of happened to me too, because I rediscovered The Last Drive-In during I missed the original marathon, and then I had Shudder and I was scrolling through and I was like, oh my God, that's Joe Bob. And it like unlocked a piece of my brain. Oh, wow. And I watched a few seasons before I even had any idea about the Twitter community or the social media community. So when I found out about that, I was like, oh my God, what is going on? Like, I thought this was just a TV show that people watched, and there's a whole world built around this.
Yeah, it got big. There's like the conventions now and the interviews and the interview, the conventions, and then the specials and the charity specials, which we all give way too much with, or not enough really, but still one day I'm going to own a piece of something. Accidentally own a piece of something.
Accidentally own a piece of something. Your annual updates on what you're bidding on during the charity marathons are very, very amusing to me.
Really?
Yes, I love them.
Yeah, I do. Do I tweet those or just like paste it in Discord? I can't remember.
Oh, you've just sent them to me in Discord.
Discord, okay.
Yeah, because I'm never gonna bid on any of this stuff, so it's just fun seeing you try to get a piece of the pie.
I like calling it running up the bid, and then hoping the fuck someone else bids after me after a while.
Yeah.
But it's fun, and it's all for charity, and you know we'll get into all that madness.
Yes, it's greatness.
It is a bunch of madness. So why, okay, as a kid, you were seeing it as monster vision and like, oh my gosh, it's magical. As an adult, why Joe Bob?
Because he talks like people I know, but he doesn't say the things like people I, like, it's a very, it's, I think that's the what it really boils down to, is that he is somebody who is a comforting figure to me, especially. I'm from the Midwest, but my whole family's from Appalachia, so I'm the first Midwest of the generations. Everybody else is straight Appalachian, and so, you know, I know a lot of the good old boy types, the manly men and all of that, and the macho, you know, rah, rah, rah. And they are not like Joe Bob, but they are in a very, you know, it's kind of hard for me to articulate. And are they, I sound like an idiot right now.
No, you don't, not whatsoever. It's part of the magic of the show. Are they not sounding like Joe Bob, or, but they are, because is Joe Bob Briggs? We won't, well, I guess it's not like outing him at this point, but. Is the character Joe Bob Briggs the thing that he's characterizing is the people he might have grown up around?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's just, it's nice to, and he doesn't, like Joe Bob, I wouldn't say that he's a bastion of progressiveness by any means, like not at all. You know, he definitely will still have some out-of-pocket comments that Darcy is just like, are you sure you want to say that on television? And I'm like, but the thing about him and his characterization, but I also know that this is him as a human being, is that he is open and willing to have conversations about things. You know, and I know he'll get all uppity on his thing about like, oh, elevated horror, blah, 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 and this and that. But like, if he was actually in front of you and you were to ask him a question about, say, elevated horror or something that he's gotten riled up on the show before, he would have a genuine, respectful conversation with you about it. He wouldn't just outright dismiss you. And right. In my life, especially growing up as, you know, a neuro spicy lady, I have been dismissed a lot of my life, especially by older men who are supposed to be role models, who just, you know, don't take me seriously or didn't take anything I said seriously or just didn't have the same sort of viewpoints that I had. And seeing Joe Bob, even as a kid and now as an adult, it's like, damn, I wish I had a grandpa, and I wish that grandpa was just like Joe Bob.
You know, I think that's a lot of great summing up of what people feel too. I mean, I think it's just the natural experience of, you don't have to always agree with someone's horror choices. It's kind of like kink shaming. Like,
exactly.
You don't kink shame, right? And there's some movies, okay, I won't talk about, you know, Cannibal Holocaust, because that was just a shit thing. But there was like some movies that, well, I would never have watched if it wasn't for Joe Bob Briggs's. Show.
Exactly. There's movies I'd never would have heard of if it wasn't for Joe Bob, because like, I don't even know how those films get on your radar.
Absolutely. And this is where it comes in with Shudder. I think some of these things are Shudder exclusives or Shudder creations themselves, and so they can license them for as long as they want. One of the best, you know what, let's do the top five best movies we've seen on the last drive-in.
Ooh.
That we probably would not have watched otherwise.
Oh, that we wouldn't have watched otherwise? Yeah, oh, man.
Not even known existed, maybe.
Oh, man. Hold on. I'm going to have to pull up the Wikipedia article here.
Which one it has? I don't. And you can't see Halloween 3.
Yeah, we've never seen Halloween 3. All right,
wait. Really?
Yeah, he's never shown it. It's like that's the whole funny thing is that it doesn't matter how much he's tried to. Well, I think it's more Darcy who's pushing for it at this point. But okay. So starting with most recently, Cemetery Man. That was the most recently that we've watched, and it was absolutely insane, and I loved it. It was a fever dream of nonsense, and I would have never watched it. Like, literally would have never seen it if they hadn't shown it on.
And that was last week's, or the week before, I should say. Right?
Well, yeah, that was week 11, according to Wikipedia.
Whenever I was watching Billy Idol.
Hey, that's, you do you.
I know, like, Billy Idol Live, or after two. Right. Oh, so you did Cemetery Man? Okay. And yeah. The weird thing is, that was just one movie that week, right?
Yeah, and so this season's been really weird, because we switched from doing just nonstop double features every single week to it being one movie every other week, which is, it's got its pros and its cons, definitely. But, you know, Joe Bob and Darcy are hyped about it. They say that it's a good thing and that we get more movies in total, and I'm just going to trust them. So,
yeah, I think you get more movies and the fan base is a little more steadier because you just set your calendar to it. Like, it's one thing, and it's going to be every other Friday. You know it in advance. Part of the issue I had in previous seasons, I would have to search out, because sometimes Shudder's old team, I always knew what was happening. Now I'm going to say AMC. All I'm saying, he fires the wrong damn people. But it's kind of like I had to guess last semester, who knows? Last year, I was like, when the fuck are they on? It's like, is it this week? No. It's what day? Okay. 3 more weeks? All right. That's the next one? Uh-huh. You're going to lose an audience because it's consistency, right?
Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. I really wish that, and I don't know the licensing rules for all of this, because I know when you're hosting something, the rules, they get all muddled. But I really wish that they could at least replay an old episode of Joe Bob in that Friday night slot. You know, at least,
right, that would be awesome.
You know, just so that it's still there, so that even if it's an old one,
the repeat.
Yeah,
they used to do that in the, hey kids, if you grew up like Kit and I, when we only had three channels, mine was NBC and sometimes PBS. We didn't get CBS or ABC. Well, yours is what? Was it NBC, ABC, CBS?
Yeah, I think that's or
Fox.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, there was no Fox. I watched a lot of whatever the Peacock one is what I watched
NBC.
A lot of.
Yeah,
yeah, NBC. That's what I watched a lot of.
Stations with the, yeah. If you grew up in that time, unless you had a VHS set to on a timer, you had to be there in front of your TV at that time to watch anything whatsoever. After that, it was gone. So you had to sometimes do a repeat. They used to do the summer repeats, where when the show was not in the live fall production, or the live fall schedule, you would watch the reruns in the summertime so you can catch up for the next season. And I think you're right. That would help out a lot. Catch people up if they have to go, Billy Idol and miss something. I can watch it later on, but I'd rather watch it when everyone else is watching it as part of the familiar, crowd fun.
Yeah.
Versus some random shit you watch on your own.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. We had Cemetery Man,
Fried Berry. That's another one.
That's mine. Yeah, that's one of mine. Fried Berry, same.
And it's funny because I'd actually tried to watch Fried Berry before it was on the drive-in. And I was like, no. And I just turned it off because I was like, I don't know what's happening. And then I watched it on the last drive-in. I still don't know what's happening. But I enjoyed it, and that's the fun thing is that you get all these behind the scene tidbits of information and the commentary and all of that. And so you get a deeper appreciation of the film, even if you don't necessarily appreciate the film, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Fried Berry, Dave did a review on that one, and I think he said, you know, it was a kind review because the movie itself is, it's well made, but you have to be pretty fucking high.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure for that one, they showed it as the second film of the night. And that's one of the things that I miss about the double feature thing is because things used to just get so weird in the back half of drive-in nights. And I miss that. We kind of lost a little bit of that culture where people are sloshed or stoned beyond recognition. And then they put on a movie that we're just like, what the hell?
Yeah, and I love that aspect of it because, don't get me wrong, honestly, there's a positive side to the one per, you know, because yeah, I can go to bed now. It's like midnight.
Yeah, yeah, I'm old, and so like it was hard for me to stay. Like I had a whole nap regimen, a whole coffee regimen, and I'm not allowed to have coffee or caffeine anymore, so... Like I've been slowly shifting my sleep schedule. I managed to stay up until 3 a.m. last night so that I can stay awake for this whole marathon that's going to be taking place.
Yeah. And because I'm looking forward to this marathon and because it's a marathon, you're right. As we go on, it's like a party. You got to the party at this time at 9:00 and at midnight, you don't want to go home yet. You're like, oh, we have to go home now? What the fuck? The bar closes at midnight?
Yeah, fucking I don't like my Binghamton? Some of my friends just got here. Like my pals from California just showed up. What's going on?
Exactly. So when it goes a bit later, you're feeling the tiredness, but you're also feeling like you're accomplishing something and you're feeling you're having a party and a fun time.
Yeah.
A fun time. So I did that, man.
For 3 and 4, these are easy. That's going to be Sledgehammer and Things from VHS Night. I never would have watched either of those. And I had to, those were the Iron Mutant movies. So, are you familiar?
Yes. No, I watched them, but I was too lazy to send the information in. I'm like, gosh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So for those who are unfamiliar, as a part of community engagement, Joe Bob did a whole, him and Darcy did it. Well, Darcy did most of the work. I'm going to be honest here. She deserves most of the credit for this.
Yes.
We watched old VHS, like old horror movies that you would have found at the, you know, at the rental store, VHS's. That's store, all they came out like on.
The fucking Dollarama, maybe.
What the fuck is that? but Things is just, it was so terrible. And we had to watch these movies and we got a certificate if we could prove that we watched the movies. And to prove to watch the movies, the man made us write essays. And if you know anything about me is I like to hammer out a good essay. And so I had to watch Sledgehammer and Things twice because I didn't get all the right details the first time. So I had to go through and watch both of those movies twice to write my Iron Mutant essays.
No, I know there's no way. I mean, Jay Brannick's, one of their favorite movies is Sledgehammer. I'm like, how? Like just fucking how?
Yeah,
and then I couldn't watch that twice. There's no fucking way.
So can I give you my real quick theory on what's going on with Things? At the very beginning of the movie, they make sandwiches with old ass bread, and he comments that the bread is moldy. So my theory is that was rye bread, and it's ergot that's growing on the bread. So they just got themselves super, super messed up on some psychedelics. And the whole thing is just a crazy ass trip trying to deal with their flawed concept of masculinity.
Oh, God. That actually makes sense.
I know it does. And I'm angry about it. I'm so mad about it.
You know, we could ask the fucking writer.
Do you know him?
If they're still alive. It's a Canadian thing, right?
I have no idea. They made one hell of a film, though. I'm never watching it again.
Yeah, it's just fucking Scarborough. Andrew, written by Jordan and Barry Giles. I can look them up. I can look them up and see where they are now. I mean, they can't be that fucking far away. It's like Ginger Snaps, you know, like the whole Canadian thing.
Oh, God, I love Ginger Snaps. That's actually, that's what they double featured with Fried Berry. It was Ginger Snaps and then Fried Berry.
And then Fried Berry, the setup and like the one of the greatest like indie horror, and then Fried Berry, which is actually a pretty decent indie horror as well.
Yeah.
Which is fucking trippy. The weird thing is, other than Chris Jericho was the guest for Things, I guess Canadian. I don't know. And the week before was the maybe top five horror movie for me that I would not have watched. Train to Busan was the week previous to this.
Oh, you wouldn't have. But what would have? What about that movie made it something that you wouldn't have chosen for yourself?
I just didn't know it existed.
You just didn't know it existed.
I'm also very lazy, and I don't like reading.
Oh, that's fair.
Like the subtitle, like fucking subtitle. No, I honestly, I had no idea Train to Busan existed, and then I'm watching it, and like that was 2021. It came on 2016. So yeah, I was like, what the fuck? That's just a beautiful movie, and we all start crying during it. It was fucked up.
Yeah, that's I get angry when they show movies that make me cry.
Make you cry?
Yeah. What is the hold on. Cats. Nope. Tigers Are Not Afraid. He showed Tigers Are Not Afraid, which is one that, you know, I'm going to. No, I'm not going to count that one.
When he showed Tigers Are Not Afraid?
According, let me.
Oh, was this season?
It was last May. So last season.
Right. Was it last season?
Looks like it was.
Before Babadook. And right after Devil's Reign.
Yeah. Yeah. But that movie is just, it's so emotional. And I was like sobbing by the end of it. And I was like, this is not what I came for, Joe Bob. I'm here for good times. I don't want to cry.
Oh, that's the Mexican fantasy horror crime. Oh, Jesus. I remember.
Yeah. And it's about children. And, you know, I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, I don't like children being in horror, because I think they're very effective when, you know, used correctly, aside from the ethical implications of using child labor to create entertainment, blah, blah, blah. But when it's
the gang
telling
one.
It was telling such a visceral story. And I would have gotten around to watching that one eventually, but I had been putting that one off because it's just like sad. It's so sad.
No, it's not the child horror. What was that one? I think it was like a Swedish film where the kid everyone hates.
Bob. The House by the Cemetery.
So that was a child horror too, but we wanted Bob to fucking die.
Yes. Like, exactly.
We just, like, did not like him. I mean, I hope the kid's okay, but the character, just the way there's just done and the way they're dubbing it might have been Italian. And but the Tiger one, man, I don't think those were even actors.
Yeah, like, I don't want to I like my horror to have a solid disconnect from reality, you know, like it can be it can be rooted in something real. But there need, for me at least, I really like there to be one thing that is like, okay, this is solidly disconnected from our reality, because real life horror is just it messes with me a whole lot. Like The Strangers is the most terrifying film I've ever seen, because it happens. Oh, yeah. It just happens every day.
Except for The Strangers Chapter 1. Not as horrifying, just boring as fuck.
I hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah, I was having a hard time finding it. When I finally found it, I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't. It's like, the original Strangers, though?
So
fucking
good.
It's great. Frustrating as fuck because of the ending. You're like, really? You motherfuckers. Ugh. You motherfuckers. There's
evil for the sake of evil.
Yeah, it's Iago, really, you know. And I like the, who's acting in that? It was two big name actors too.
Oh my gosh. You can't ask me questions. I'm an idiot.
But we got the computer.
I know. I feel like, who's that? Whoever that person Joe Rogan's always yelling at to fact check, like, check this. I don't actually listen to Joe Rogan. I just know that he, Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman.
Yeah, Liv Tyler. That's what I was thinking.
God,
yeah.
She's so pretty.
And it's like, wow. It's like watching the first, Purge. Like, oh, shit. These fuckers are all named. So we watched some stuff from Joe Bob. Now, have you seen things like Dead Heat and Brain Damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heathers.
Oh, Heathers, absolutely. I grew up on Heathers, which did not do great things for my psyche.
Although, good movie.
It's a great movie.
Don't watch as a kid.
No.
Just like Mean Girls. Fuck off. Yeah.
Well,
wait until it's like you're 18, your fucking identity. Because that shit's going to fuck with you. Exorcist 3 came out. And Exorcist 3 was weird because it's the true sequel to the actual Exorcist, Legion.
And I've never actually the one that seen Exorcist 3. Wrote.
Really? Okay. It's a first time you're going to see Patrick Ewing as a movie star, as well as Mr. Samuel Jackson.
Gosh, it is always surprising to me seeing actors getting their start in horror films.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that in there. What was that one film that they shot at Sam Jackson's fucking apartment?
Oh gosh, I can't remember. Like I said, you can't ask me things. That's too vague of a question.
That's too vague of a question
for Google. But like, Joe Bob recently showed. I can't remember what it is. It's got Reese Witherspoon in it, and it's a retelling.
Kiefer Sutherland.
With the retelling of Little Red Riding Hood, and I was watching that, and I was like, I had no idea that like this was, and that was like a whole era of Reese's movie career that I was completely unaware of. Well, like, I thought she started making films with Legally Blonde.
Well, yeah, no, like on purpose. She's, according to Joe Bob Briggs, not too thrilled to have it on her CV. She is also dropping the N-word a lot. Like, she's just a complete piece of but she's supposed to be that complete piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, she's playing a role. People need to get better at separating art from the artist and actors from their roles.
And is it really her being, as I was calling, a complete piece of shit just by the way she's talking, but it's not quite that horrific because Kiefer Sutherland's character is like a pedophile fucking serial killer, right?
That's actually a really good example of what I was talking about earlier, where there's real life horror in there, but it's just disconnected enough from reality that I'm like, oh, okay, I can handle this. Like, especially as somebody who used to work for child services and I cannot remember what that movie is called. But whatever it's called in that, like with them having the whole child services plot line, I was like, oh, this is going to be hard for me to watch. And it wasn't, because it was so outlandish that I was like, okay, none of this is real.
This could not be real whatsoever. No, and that does help a bit, which goes against like the Autopsy of Jane Doe, which goes like, shit, this creeps me out because I could see this.
Can I tell a funny story about the first time I watched The Autopsy of Jane Doe? Yeah, so it's several years ago. I have to start a little bit before. I have strep throat. I have like 103 fever. I'm delirious for a few days. About a week later, half an ounce of mushrooms show up at my house that I apparently ordered off of Instagram. And I'm like, okay, cool. So at some point I'm under the influence and I'm like, I'm going to watch a movie. And for some reason I chose The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah. I question my decision-making skills every day. So that movie was absolutely terrifying. And when Joe Bob was like, all right, we're going to be watching The Autopsy of Jane Doe, I was like, oh my God. Like, I started having like flashbacks to being curled up into a ball on my couch, but unable to stop watching. Cause I'm like, I was locked in.
No. Yeah, dude. I you might as well just said Donnie Darko. Like, I was taking acid and I saw Donnie Darko. I go,
That, but I'd seen Donnie Darko about 15 times before I did that. So it was more cool than terrifying.
More cool.
Don't do drugs, kids. They're bad.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what it is. Just don't do it all. It's all good. It's all good. Now, speaking of shit that I would not see and probably very bad on acid, Mad God.
Oh God, Mad God is so good. So good. But I agree with you. It's so long that I hadn't watched the entire thing. prior to it being on Joe Bob. It was one of those that I turned it on and I was like, okay, there's no talking. I have ADHD.
There's two words in the whole fucking thing.
I have ADHD. I need some noise going on. And then, you know, watching it with the Mutant Fam and, you know, live tweeting it and having that interaction, yeah, keeping me engaged was a really good way for me to experience that movie. But my God, what a trip.
Yeah, honestly, what a trip. And God, there are some main things. We probably saw Hellraiser 2. Mm-hmm. So there are some really good ones that we have seen before, like Summer Party Massacre and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Class of 84, that was a long time ago. You know, Reanimator, Bride of This, Bride of That.
Yeah, I've seen it's. That's another thing that I miss about the double feature format. Not to keep going back on that, but there was a pretty good chance that when we were doing a double feature, it would be a movie that I had seen and a movie I hadn't seen before. Yes. So I got to experience, you know, both sides of the coin, and now I get one side or the other.
Yes, it's kind of the, I might have seen, well, what's a really good one from that era? Let me see. I definitely saw Little Shop of Horrors before, but I've never seen Humanoids from the Deep.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Mandy. Like, I might insane. Have seen Mandy before. No, I actually haven't seen Mandy before. When I saw that, I'm like, what the fuck is this show? So there's a lot of trippy ones, and we're kind of tiptoeing around one that no one would see if it were not for The Last Drive-In. And I don't want to start a chant, but Hogzilla.
Hogzilla, Hogzilla, Hogzilla.
Yeah. Fuck, man. That's exactly right. I want a Hogzilla 2 so badly. If Kevin Smith's not doing Moose Jaws, fuck it. I want Hogzilla 2.
I have seen rumblings on social media that they are not entirely opposed to the idea of a Hogzilla 2. I don't know exactly how true they are because it's just rumblings on social media, but that would be so cool. I would be an unpaid extra easily.
Oh, they could.
I'd even
that.
Get my tits out on camera. I don't, you know, like let's.
I'll get
let's
mine
do
out
it.
On camera too. Let's all go. Take our tits out. 1, 2, 3. By the way, the movie you're thinking of, Freeway.
Freeway. Yes, that's why I couldn't remember what it was called because that title.
It's a throwaway fucking name.
Yeah, that's a horrible name for a movie. I can't remember if that was one of the ones that has had 17 different titles or not.
Oh, kind of like the Agatha Christie. Yeah, it might have been. So there's a lot of great movies, and it's a way to discover things. And I think what we're hitting home on is just not just the watching the movies, we can watch these movies ourselves, but it's the sense of community that Joe Bob and Darcy are building with the show.
Absolutely.
I mean, I love Phantasm. I can watch that shit by myself. I have, but watching it, with Joe Bob Briggs, oh, it was fucking magical.
Yeah. It really is. That's kind of like, that's how I felt. I felt a little bit like I was stepping into Narnia when I discovered the social media community, because I was like, oh my God, these are my people. Where have you been? Like, I am trapped in my house. There's a global pandemic going on and all of you are just watching this without me.
Yeah.
How do I get invited to this party? And then it turns out you just show up and everybody welcomes you with open arms.
Instantly.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like I showed up, I like made my Twitter account and I watched like a couple of episodes and I was like, hey guys, I'm new here. And then there were just so many people willing to retweet and be like, let's build up the community. Like, you know, let's go.
Is that how I found you?
You found me through Twitter. Yeah. I was,
wait a minute. It's coming back to me now.
I was drunk tweeting.
Nice.
What was it? I could probably figure out what movie it was, but yeah, I was, this is when I can't drink alcohol anymore either. But this was when I was like tipsy and you read some of my tweets, 'cause I was jotting down notes because I love learning from Joe Bob. And you were like, hey, you're taking notes on the show and you're an iron mutant. I need a writer. And I was like, okay, let me try. I'll do my best.
Yeah, I mean, that's the organicness of it. Like, it really is a family. I was like, yeah, I'm so glad to have you too. I was like, yay!
It was
steel. Steel. Now we have to talk. By the way, tonight we're recording this. I know we're recording this Wednesday, the magic of TV. But tonight, Friday, the whatever of August, the last day of August, probably. I don't know. I don't have a calendar.
It's the 30th.
The 30th. Think it's August 30th, 9 p.m. Eastern. Get on Shudder. It's going to crash the damn app, which really doesn't take that much. But still, it's going to crash the damn app, and we're all going to watch until Joe Bob says From Dusk to Dawn. I don't know if he meant to watch. We're watching Dusk to Dawn. We're watching From Dusk to Dawn, and then I had to Google what the fuck dusk was and when the fuck dawn happens. Because apparently that shit happens different times, different hemisphere. Like, ah. And then Shudder's like, no, just 9 p.m., dude. Like, oh, okay, I can remember that. 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to start watching this shit. You will be on X?
I will be on X. I'm actually going to be taking over the Mutant Fam Twitter account for the first movie, which is really exciting. I miss Twitter takeovers, trying to get an account that's not mine banned. and then I will be on my account for the rest of it, and then I will be writing an unhinged recap for the website.
Very, very cool. What's the Mutant Fam's Twitter account?
The Mutant Fam's Twitter account is, I don't know why I said it like that. It is at the Mutant Fam.
Okay. And what's yours?
Mine is at Kate Horror Break. H-O-R-R-O-R Break.
And Kate, K-A-I-T.
K-A-I-T.
Nice. And we'll be on Threads because we kind of went nuclear on X. We're on Threads as _hauntedMTL_, and we'll be doing this shit live as well. So we can have like a thread X off and go bamba bam, bazoom, boom, boom, papawis. No matter what you do, have fun.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then there's more. Oh, wait, there's more. Is there charity? Yes, they do charity. It's awesome. And it's Christmas time. It makes Christmas, honestly, I've not liked Christmas in a long fucking time. The first time I really liked Christmas, I saw them doing that charity thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I can get behind this. And it's always a cool-ass charity, too.
Christmas is ruined for me for a while, but I'll get through it.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I know. Fucking tough times, bro.
Yeah, tough times. You know.
Now, is there anything you want to say that if I've never seen Joe Bob Briggs in The Last Drive-In, with Darcy the Mail Girl on Shudder Fridays at 9 p.m. Do the marathon tonight. You'll fucking enjoy it. If you've never seen this, pitch it to me. Why should I watch this? If I'm a horror fan, why should I watch this?
Do you miss the days of being 12 years old in your best friend's basement after raiding their parents' VHS collection and watching something you definitely know you should not be? Porn? Do you miss making jokes with your friends and maybe saying some things that are a little bit off color, but it's okay because they know you don't mean anything bad by it?
Yes.
Do you? Yeah. Do you miss drinking until you throw up? No, nobody does that. Don't do that. No, I'm serious though. If you want a sense of community, an instant sense of community and camaraderie, or if you just want to be entertained and learn something, Joe Bob Briggs and Darcy the Mail Girl are the people to watch and to join. The Mutant Fam is absolutely incredible. They will welcome you with open arms. And they have a lot of insider information on this stuff too. So if Joe Bob and Darcy don't give you a tidbit of information, somebody from the Mutant Fam is sure to tell you. So it's just a very good, fun, educational time.
No, I like that. I dig it. And I think you hit it on the head. It's the, do you want to watch kinky horror? Do you want to, yes, that's a kind of a pun thing, right? Yeah. Do you want to watch something with friends and you don't have to worry about, I've done some fucking off color. Most of my jokes, I think, off color for those days. And you don't have to worry about it. Like, you're not going to worry about pissing someone off.
Yeah. Unless you're outrightly, you know, saying something that's blatantly bigoted or, you know, just way off. Because they, they'll smack that down, you know, like it's right. When I say it's a welcoming community, it doesn't fall victim to the tolerance paradox very frequently. You know, if you're being an asshole and hurting someone's feelings, they'll smack you out of there. But yeah, you can say things that if you probably couldn't say, you know, otherwise.
Remember that one time I fucked a rabbit?
Yeah, what? Exactly. Exactly.
Wait, yeah. You know, absolutely. And that's what it is. It's a chill hang. It's a good community.
Admitted to being willing to fuck an animatronic version of death, you know, last movie. So.
Oh, for Cemetery Man?
Yeah. Wait.
Really?
Was that Cemetery Man that was the latest one? Yes. My brain is so fried. But yeah. Yeah. He's kind of sexy, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, I always romance Grimm in The Sims, but like you probably couldn't waterboard that out of me outside of this community. I'm not ever going to share that with you.
Although,
know?
if you want to see Kate getting waterboarded, tune in tonight at 9 p.m. That's the first movie.
Yeah. Spoiler. Oh my gosh. No. Spoiler alert.
You're getting waterboarded in like 5 minutes.
Oh, good luck. God. He's in my house.
No, run away. No. Get Baby Yoda. Ah. No, for real, I think you hit it spot on, and I can't wait for tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, Friday on Shudder, only on Shudder, and we're going to watch Joe Bob Briggs, Darcy the Mail Girl, The Last Drive-In for one more time. Big old marathon.
Big old marathon.
Joe Bob would say, watch my show.
4 stars. Check it out.
I was going to do this 4 stars. I was just like, yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks a lot. That was 45 minutes. We're good. Nicely done. Thanks for coming in. Next time, we're doing breakup stuff of a bunch of people. Spoiler alert, never watch Roller Gator with anyone. Never watch Roller Gator, period.
Or Tusk, apparently.
Yo, we got to talk about it. I want to hear that story. Okay, next time, breakup with horror on Streaming Demons. All I have to say is thanks for having us. Hit like, subscribe, all that shit, and watch some Joe Bob. As Joe Bob Briggs says, Streaming Demons is a good show. Probably, I don't know. I'm not with his house right now. Bye, everyone. The outro. Bow. Bow.
I hear a cat.
Yeah, motherfucker.